Hi, I'm Andrew Fuller. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I'm very fortunate today to be talking with Brett Lee. Brett is a former detective who took on the mantle of really creating a safer world on the internet for our young people and for people generally, setting up his organization, Internet Safe Education, and writing his book, Screen Protection. And presenting all over the place on this issue, an expert in cyber safety. So, welcome again to Brett Lee. We're basically continuing on with the second segment. We want to talk about a more emerging area than we did last time, which was, of course, generally about child safety. This time, we want to talk about partners and how, from fractious relationships, sometimes people intrude where they're not wanted in their ex-partner's lives. And so, Brett, generally, I guess this is something that's really we're becoming more aware of. What sorts of devices are being used by ex-partners to track their partners or ex-partners?
Yeah, look, I think if we can talk in very generic terms, I'm not really a technical expert by any means under any heading, but I do have a lot of experience when it comes to speaking to people in relation to not only, like you mentioned, the child sex offence topic, but also adults who are having problems with partners, whether it's driven through jealousy, whether it's through control, whether it's through anger. And I just think technology is now another medium whereby what the perpetrator's looking to achieve can be accomplished through the not only the capabilities but also the limitations of technology. It's a very ingrained part of our life, and generally when we're in a relationship, we're not thinking about, gee, I shouldn't do this because it could be used against me later on. So it's a really hard topic to discuss, because once that relationship breaks down, the information and probably the devices and the access is probably already there to be used. People just need to know that they have rights in relation to this. Just because it's technology, it doesn't mean that people have a right to do it. Even though we may have shared information, maybe it's we've shared sexualized information with a partner, even though it's been given to them consensually, that there's very strict laws surrounding their use of that without our consent. When it comes to others accessing our password protected accounts or devices, there's definitely criminal offences that relate to that. Most times we don't need to go down that path, and usually when someone's aware something is happening, quite often that can stop it. Look, I would suggest that if any person believes that their account or their device is being accessed, that they really need to get it examined and looked at by a professional. There's also security software, particularly on the larger devices such as laptops and computers. And that really needs to be kept up to date. Look, I've had a number of adults approach me in relation to this, suspicions that others may be accessing their device. There's really limited things we can do. We can change passwords, and we make our password something that is very, very important, even when we're in a relationship, that we have very strong passwords. I think the experts are saying at this point in time, because of where we are with technology, that a password should really be 10 digits long. It should contain at least one letter, and should contain at least, one number and one special character, and where possible, a capital. There's a number of programs that are readily available to anyone who wants to access our devices or our accounts. A number of programs available that can get access to other people's accounts. People commonly refer to it as hacking, which is a criminal offence, and that just means accessing someone else's device or account without permission. If you have a 10-digit password and it's got that special character, it's got that number, it's got that capital, really no matter what program that someone else is going to use to access your device or your account, it's going to take them years to get access. A password such as 123ABC can be accessed within a matter of minutes using hacking software such as one that's called Brute Force, which just throws millions of different combinations at our password, but also ones like Dictionary that goes through every word in the dictionary. Be very careful about filling information out on the internet, whether it's surveys or competitions. things like you'll see those ones and they'll say, hey, what's your favourite colour? What's your cat's name? Because quite often those things link to people's passwords, and it's been shown that that's one of the main ways that other people access our accounts. Like I said, if we think something's been accessed, we may need to get it looked at by a technical expert to do a full scan. Maybe it needs to be sent back to zero like we bought it from the factory. I did mention the first thing may be changing passwords in case we think someone else is accessing the account. So look, what I would be suggesting, one, always know you have legal rights in relation to people accessing accounts, and also how they use your information. eSafety.gov.au can assist and give further information in relation to people who are using ex-partners who are using technology against us. Now, what is usually investigated under in most states and territories and also federally is the offence of stalking. And stalking is used to be doing more than one concerning act. So it had to be more than one. But most states and territories have now changed that definition to either more than one concerning act or one ongoing act. So the case where maybe they're posted a message online that concerns us, that may make us lose our job, may make us fearful, that can come under the definition of stalking. Even though it's just one act, it's ongoing because it's perpetually on the internet and it's continually being viewed and it's continually having a negative effect on us. So we have rights in relation to ex-partners using technology or a combination of physical world strategies and also doing the wrong thing online comes under the definition of stalking. So most states and territories, technology is not even mentioned in the definition of stalking. This is about people. We always seek help. If maybe you need legal assistance, you can seek legal assistance criminally through the police. You can also seek assistance, civilly through a lawyer. But it does amount to domestic violence as well, and there's legislation covering that. So please be empowered to know that no one has a right to do that.
So just blocking your location tracker, how effective is that?
Blocking the location really depends on the program we're using. Quite often when we have our location on in an app, it's just so the app itself can maximize our experience. I mean, if you're going to use Google Maps, they need to know where you are so they can show you where you've got to go. That's not readily available to other people, but there are apps such as social media that does notify others. So what we want to be very careful about is how we're using technology, that the programs we have, and what ones are allowing others to know where our location is. And you know what, even if we're not being stalked by someone else, we need to ask ourselves, why do people need to know where I am when I'm using technology? So particularly if you have issues going on in your life, maybe it's to do with access to your children, maybe it's fear for an ex-partner, I would certainly be turning off any location services in apps that make it available to other people.
So if I suspected that somebody was tracking me and I wanted to do a scrub of my devices to make sure that basically I wasn't being tracked in the future, where would you recommend somebody begin?
Well, the device, you can turn off location services in the device itself. You would probably need to go through every app. And most devices these days, particularly phones, they have, it needs data. If you have a laptop that, it's not on a data plan, generally that's okay with your location. People would have noticed that if you're using a laptop through your Wi-Fi, you need to actually let Google Maps know where you are. It doesn't automatically do it like on your phone. But each app has its own location services, and it is quite simple where you go into the settings and it will show you all the apps that you have given location services to. So you can have a look at that and decide whether that's really needed. So you can turn it off through the device. I would say if someone's in fear of their safety or of someone else's safety, that we mainly just turn the device off work on it from there and maybe seek assistance there. But every device can have the location services turned off.
Thanks so much, Brett. I mean, I know this is an emerging area, so it's hard to give definitive answers to, but at the same time, it's a really important thing to begin to raise and consider, because we know, sadly, this sort of behaviour seems to be on the increase. And so people who are jealous or wanting control basically are finding it difficult to relinquish that control or that jealousy and move on. And so we just need to be careful for those that are being tracked. So thanks again for your time, and thanks again for the wonderful work that you do. I really have always admired the work that you do, and hopefully we'll get to talk again. Just your website, just so you can, people that want to find out a bit more.
It's only small, internetsafeeducation.com, all one word.
Thank you for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Find more resources for supporting the mental health and well-being of young people on the Generation Next website. While you're there, consider becoming a member of the Online Learning Hub, where you can access practical sessions from leading experts on demand. There are many sessions available in the ever-expanding learning library, and each session has an instantly downloadable certificate of completion, which you may even be able to use to claim professional development. You can also feel great about your membership, with all proceeds supporting Generation Next's not-for-profit initiatives, including this podcast. You may also like to read more in Generation Next's Young Minds books. Both books contain practical and easy-to-read chapters on a range of topics from Australia's leading practitioners. Andrew Fuller's chapter, What is Resilience? And How to Do It, is in the book Growing Happy, Healthy Young Minds, available on the Generation Next website at www.generationnext.com.au. We hope you found this podcast helpful. Please share this podcast and your learnings with others. Until next time, thanks for listening and for all you do to support young people and our communities.